This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
9-3-0-2-8.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
That would authorize to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
Each government, Republicans and Democrats, were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Gleason and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? That's what I want to know, because it's time to be more exceptional than ever before. We are being invaded. It's pretty obvious we're being invaded, and it's a very cold and calculated invasion by a whole bunch of bad actors. And we've been saying this now for, 20, 30 years, actually, that this is now coming to a head, as probably more than a million people will, at least, that we can account for, will probably have, invaded the United States of America in the month of May, as this is the last day of May, of course. And then what's it going to look like for June and July? Over the summer, we'll probably have another 5 million people. At this rate, if we continue to do nothing and wring our hands about the border. So, effectively, we can erase the border, which is exactly what the United Nations Agenda 21 folks, the globalists, want. Nancy Pelosi, all the people on the left. And we can just pack it in and go away and just await our fate. You know, sit there with your guns in hand or whatever and wait your fate as the people come smashing through your door to get rid of you. That's the plan. Why else would you invade like this? So, now, with that, what are we doing? We're slapping tariffs on the Mexicans. Big deal. Doing nothing is better than nothing? No, it's a sign that we're rolling over, basically. That's not a good sign, in my opinion. Now, will other things start to follow? I hope so. I'm pretty sure that they will. There's the notion that the president can use the Insurrection Act to stem the tide here. I think this is exactly where it's going, quite frankly. But everybody is just all up in arms about this 5%, but that's okay. You see, the Mexicans want the invasion. This is something that they've wanted for a long time. By the way, this is something that is not new in our history or in the history of the United States, to be invaded or attempted invasion. You know, that's why we have Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution. That's why we have it there. It guarantees three things. It's a guarantee clause. We've been saying this 70 weeks in a row in the new California state movement through the grievances. We've been pontificating. We're turning blue. God help us for that to happen, right? But there's three things that are guaranteed to all Americans, and right now none of these three are being guaranteed. And the person at the top who has to make that decision is, of course, the President of the United States. And who's stopping them? The judges and the Congress. You see, you got both branches of government, which are supposed to be co-equal, against the president. How tricky they have been, huh? The invaders. The invasion force, of course, includes all those that have been inside on the deal. You know, like the James Comeys. Those guys. Oh, we have a lot to talk about with Bill Barr, his comments about what's going on with Mueller. Boy, did Mueller just look like he was just absolutely a CS the other day. I mean, it was all he could do to get words out. I was rewinding and watching that. We're going to play that so you can hear it again. There's a man who does not want to be in public, and he's going to run off. I can guarantee you he's going to run off after what he's done, the treasonous behavior by Mr. Mueller. Anyway, but we're going to talk about what this whole thing of invasion is, so that's very blunt and you understand, especially about Mexico. Now, Tucker Carlson played a clip. I have not heard it. I'll see if I can pull it up for you. About Mexico and how they're really not our friends. And, of course, if you've been listening to this radio show, you know that's not new here. We've been singing this song and dance for years. For years and years and years and years and years, they've been plotting an invasion of the United States of America. I've been turning blue over this. And now all of a sudden here it is 2019. And hop, we got an invasion and now it's Mexico, really. And we're just now waking up to that. So wake up, folks. It's here. Your livelihoods, everything is at stake for you. You're going to lose everything you have. I don't care how rich or poor you are in the United States. If you are a United States citizen, the threat to you is over the top enormous. And those of you in New York, they're sitting around in all your news studios. It's nice and clean and warm. And you're just now waking up to this. Well, it's better late than never, huh? Those of you that called us deniers and liars, tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists in the greatest of terms, guess what? The chickens have come home to roost on your head. And they're dumping a load down your back right now. All these years, we have been demeaned, all of us on the new stream media, by those folks in New York who just sit there in their ivory towers and think that they can get away with everything perfect. We've got the flag. We've got our music. We got new studios. You guys out there in the hinterlands, no big deal. We've been fighting the battle for a long time, and now here it is. And you've been in denial about it, and you've been hiding things from the people, not getting us ready for this, and now you're swinging to the left radically. It's going to be interesting to watch how the media, all of the media, including so-called conservative outlets, turn left very quick as this invasion continues. Because, you know, they don't want to be... See, as it goes with these kind of invasions... In these kind of totalitarian takeovers, you got to be on the good team. You got to be on that team, else you get rounded up and killed. And that's what happens. Speaking very bluntly, that is what happens. And right now, we're on that clip. You know, when you let a million people just walk across your border, and they're using kids, or they're buying and selling people, and you got all the people that are involved in it, you know who the players are, that are committing these treasonous acts against our country, so that they can rule and dominate. in finally get rid of the vestiges of Protestantism. That's their ultimate goal. But, you know, who are these people that are invading? Well, Mexico, for one, yeah. And, of course, the president's slapping 5% tariff on them. No big deal. That's nothing. I know the markets are down. And then there's the threat that it's going to be progressive discipline up to 25. You know, listen, obviously people around the president want him to do that. That's the wrong thing to do, quite frankly. It's now time for people to step up and be bold, because pretty soon they're going to come knocking at your door, guaranteed. When you have this level of invasion, and by the way, just take a look at the video clips, right? Now we're seeing 1,000 people at a clip stream across the border. That was what the picture was yesterday. But this is only one spot in one day. That's the point. That is the point. And that is, of course, a big concern now, isn't it? Anyway, when we come back, we're going to come back from the break, and we're going to talk about a little bit of what the invasion was. We're going to give you invasions of the United States from Wikipedia. I looked at that yesterday and said, wow, how convenient. And we're going to talk about some of those wars you don't even know about, and the invasion by the Mexican government of the United States on several different occasions. And why didn't Mexico support us in World War I and World War II and supported the Nazis? Wow. I bet you didn't even know that. And what about this Aslan business? It's been a warp in planning for years. We'll be back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you 2 MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's 2 MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow, from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-filled pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own, or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you 2 MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's 2 MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
I'm a prospector. I found a big old river rock. I'm sure it's a gold nugget. Where do I go to cash it in?
Whatever precious metals you're digging up, we'll barrel it over to Yuba City Coin and Bullion by the 10th Street Bridge. Always paying top dollar on placer gold, pickers or bigger, any hoard of gold coins and silver ingots, shiny or not.
Eureka! They're paying more than all the teeth in my mouth!
Your local coin shop buys those too, gold crowns and bridges, also scrap jewelry and sterling silverware. We melt it down, turning it into shiny gold and silver ingots that you can invest in.
We'll all be strike it rich at the Twin Cities.
Yuba City, Coin and Bullion, 438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. 755 Coin.
Now where'd my donkey wander off to?
We have to enforce our
immigration system.
All aboard!
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Of course, the tariffs and so on that the president is planning to throw at the invasion force of millions, that's going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to mean anything to these people. I think people probably understand that. Then we're going to come back and do another tariff. And give them another 60 days or so, or 30 days, I don't know, they raise it up to 10, put the economic hurt on them. If you want to put the economic hurt on them, put 25% on today. But the unwillingness to put any greater than 5% really is being seen as a sign of weakness by the president, unfortunately. But, you know, I guess we all have to understand how much this invasion force is. Now, again, maybe it's time for America to learn what is happening and push back on your own representatives who are committing open treason, especially on the Democratic Party. Open treason right in front of your face. Now, some people would not say that. But, you know, it's pretty obvious that there's been treasonous behavior by a lot of people, especially people like perhaps Hillary Rodham Clinton, maybe. Oh, no, she would never commit treason. She loves our country. She's out and about being a sociopathic liar. And, of course, everybody gives her a pass, right? The notion is give her a pass. She's cool. Anyway, invasion of the United States is real. It is on. And we have to fess up and admit to it. And we better encourage the president of the United States to declare insurrection at the border. And these people are going to do nothing but continue to ruin us. And we better stop this, all these charitable church things going on, cut off the money to them, because it's an inducement. You know, it's not just California that's doing this. It's a federal government, too. There's inducements. We, in the federal, our federal government is providing billions of dollars every year to these relief agencies that are supporting these people coming across the border. Catholic Charities, number one. They get billions of dollars per year. Plus, they get new congregants for their churches, right? Plus, MS-13 comes on board. Yeah, there you go. It's chaos, and that's what they want. It's warfare. And the Catholic Charities are right in the middle of it. They're benefiting, getting billions of dollars of our taxpayers' money. And at the same time, they're getting congregants. And what about the Methodists? What about the Mormons? They're all involved. They're all getting a piece of this pie. This is, of course, called trafficking in human flesh and slavery. Why are we enjoying being slave traders in the United States? All of us are tarred with that now. All of us in the United States, we're slave traders. The biggest slave trading country in the world is the United States. Congratulations. We've just taken it a step further. We're the biggest slave trading country in the United States. The United States is. In the whole world. In the whole world. We're slave traders. How's that feel? How's that feel for all of you? How does that feel for all of you? Now, let's just throw a few things out here. A couple of things. I'm going to read this first paragraph so you kind of get an idea of what's going on here. The concept of invasion of the United States relates to a military theory and doctrine which addresses the feasibility and practicality of a foreign power attacking and successfully evading the United States of America. The United States has been physically invaded a few times, once during the War of 1812 and once during the Mexican-American War. Shocking! Now, of course, the combatants of 1812 were, of course, the British. They wanted their colonies back. It's none of this independence business. The strength of that independence document was overwhelming. They had to stop it. But, oh, yeah, they came about War of 1812. And, of course, what was that all about, right? Started from June 1812 to February 1850, and historians in Britain often see it as a minor theater of the Napoleonic Wars in the United States and Canada. It is seen as a war. It is seen as a war in its own right, United States. From the outbreak of the war with the Napoleonic France, Britain had enforced a naval blockade to choke off neutral trade to France, which the U.S. contested as illegal under international law. To man the blockade, British impressed American merchant sailors into the... Are you ready for this? Impressed. Now, that's a little bit... That means it forced them into the Royal Navy. Incidents such as the Chesapeake Leotard affair, which happened 5 years before the war, inflamed anti-British sentiment in the United States. In 1811, the British were in turn outraged by the Little Belt affair, in which 11 sailors died. Britain supplied Native Americans with... Listen to this. Britain supplied Native Americans who raided American settlers on the frontier, hindering American expansion and provoking resentment. Historians debate whether the desire to annex some of or all of the British North American Canada contributed to the American decision to go to war. There you go. So you had all these people that were belligerents, which is kind of interesting. But that's not the only one. The next one. The Mexican-American War. Shocking. Known as in the United States as the Mexican War and in Mexico as the Intervención Estadounidense en México, was an armed conflict between the United States and Mexico from 1846 to 1848. It followed in the wake of the 1845 U.S. annexation of Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Hang on to your California history as well, because some of it's going to be mentioned, I suspect. Annexation of Texas not formally recognized by the Mexican government. So the annexation to Texas wasn't recognized, disputing the treaties of Velasco, signed by Mexican Cadillo. Now, what is a Cadillo? You hear these names all the time. President Lopez de Santa Anna, after the Texas Revolution a decade earlier. So this is the Treaty of Velasco, where two documents signed. I'm getting buzzed like crazy. Hang on. Yeah. Anyway, Treaty of Velasco. On May 14, 1836, between Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna of Mexico and the Republic of Texas, in the aftermath of the Battle of San Jacinto, the signatories were Interim President David G. Burnett of Texas and Santa Anna for Mexico. Uh-huh. Getting into a little bit of more history that's probably even more important, right? The treaties were intended on the part of Texas to provide a conclusion of the hostilities between the two enemies and to offer the first steps towards the official recognition of the breakaway republic's independences. Santa Anna signed both a public treaty and a secret treaty, but neither treaty was ratified by the Mexican government because he had signed the documents under coercion as a prisoner. Mexico claimed Texas was a breakaway province, but it was too weak to attempt another invasion. The documents were not even called treaties until characterized by President James K. Polk in his justifications for war some 10 years later, as Representative Abraham Lincoln pointed out in 1848. Lincoln. 1848. Anyway. That's the stem of that one. Now we're coming up to other things. So we've got this invasion that's going to develop now. Texas was a republic on its own. U.S. forces, it says here, where am I at here in the sitting here? I want to make sure I get this right. Well, we're going to come up to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Texas part of it. The invasion of the United States. I want you to understand where Mexico sits in all this. Mexico's invading us, folks. They're the enemy. And you better get used to it. We'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Give it out! Hello, Cold War!
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com. NewCaliforniaState.com, and of course, MyPillow, Agenda, is the code word, 800-266-4715. We're talking about the Mexican-American War because we're talking about invasions of the United States, because they have happened. Let me go down a list for you. We've been physically invaded, of course, Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Mexican-American War. And several times during the so-called, quote, border war, guess what? With Mexico. And once again during World War II with Japan. But in the meantime, Reconquista, settling in. The slow growth Reconquista movement. But it's told me, oh, Paul, you don't understand. This is stupid of you to be talking about Reconquista. Really? Really? So now, after being called years of stupid, you don't know what you're talking about, show us the facts, all that crap, right? Here it is. You're being faced with it. Soon, and some of you already know what this is like, your cities and towns are being invaded by people that are homeless, right? All the homeless thing in California is just all over the place. But that's to tax the resources of the community social welfare program. But now you're going to be invaded by even greater forces. And whole towns and cities are being, you know, overrun by illegal foreign nationals, helped by the Border Patrol. Right, being put on buses and just dumped off in communities. Isn't that swell? Right, we know all about that. It's all part of the invasion. Anyway, the Mexico situation with the Mexican-American War is, of course, the salient point of what we're talking about right now. Big war, actually, is the United States and Mexico from 1846 to 1848, and it all kind of started with the whole thing with the Alamo. Wow, where's the Alamo legacy in all this stuff, right? The Alamo. Let's talk about the Alamo for a second so you kind of get some time frame perspectives, because remember something. This also talks about the genesis of California, or the California movement for Alta California, which led to a declaration of independence for California to be separated, at least Alta California, which is really what California was at the time, is currently today, from Mexico. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe they didn't like what the Mexicans were treating them. How about that? So the Alamo. Yeah, the Alamo. Now, we're not talking about, you know, do people really, it's a nice place to visit, you know? I mean, what about the Alamo? It's a rental car business? It does actually have a historical context. It really does. A lot of people don't like to talk about that. They don't want you to say, oh, Paul, we want to rent cars, as opposed to talk about the Alamo, right? So everything's an Alamo rental car. Well, what about Alamo, the battle for Alamo? Huh? And, you know, it's Davy Crockett and all that stuff. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's been relegated. If you just type in the word Alamo in the computer, it's been relegated to the back stages. Back pages. Do you believe that? Remember the Alamo. It redirects here. Oh, okay. The Battle of the Alamo. Oh, listen to this. February 23rd to March 6th, 1836, was a pivotal event in the Texas Revolution following a 13-day siege. Now, 1836, shocking. 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 Because in November 1836, the Californios in Alta California declare their independence from Mexico City. This isn't the first time we've been invaded by Mexico, now is it? Or conquered? And we wanted our independence from Mexico? The centralized government of Mexico? Here you have the Texas people doing the same thing. There's two Lone Star states in America, Texas and California. There's a reason why the big red star occurs on the Alta California flag of 1836. It's in support of the other Lone Star state of Texas. 1836. Battle of the Alamo. Texas Revolution. Mexican troops under President General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna reclaimed the Alamo mission near San Antonio de Bexar, modern-day San Antonio in Texas, killing the Texan and immigrant occupier. Santa Anna's cruelty during the battle inspired many Texans, both legal Texas settlers and illegal immigrants from the United States, to join the Texian army. Buoyed by a desire for revenge, the Texians defeated the Mexicans at the Battle of San Jacinto, April 21st, 1836, ending the rebellion. Several months previously, Texans had driven all Mexican troops out of Mexican Texas. About 100 Texians were then garrisoned at the Alamo. The Texian force grew slightly with the arrival of reinforcements led by eventual Alamo co-commanders James Bowie and William B. Travis. On February 23rd, approximately 1,500 Mexicans marched into San Antonio de Bexar as the first step in a campaign to retake Texas. For the next 10 days, two armies engaged in several skirmishes with minimal casualties. Aware that his garrison could not withstand an attack by such a large force, Travis wrote multiple letters pleading for more men and supplies from Texas and from the United States, but the Texians were reinforced by fewer than 100 men because the United States had a treaty with Mexico, and supplying men and weapons would have been an overt act of war. In the early hours of March 6th, the Mexican army advanced on the Alamo. After repelling two attacks, the Texians were unable to fend off a third attack as Mexican soldiers scaled the walls. Most of the Texian fighters withdrew into interior buildings. Occupiers unable to reach these points were slain by Mexican cavalry as they attempted to escape. Between 5 and 7 Texians may have surrendered. If so, they were quickly executed. Most eyewitness accounts reported that between 182 to 257 Texians died, while most historians of the Alamo agree that around 600 Mexicans were killed or wounded. Several noncombatants were sent to Gonzales to spread the word of the Texian defeat. The news sparked both a strong rush to join the Texian army and a panic known as the Runaway Scrape, in which the Texian army, most settlers, and the new self-proclaimed but officially unrecognized Republic of Texas government fled eastward towards the United States ahead of the advancing Mexican army. Within Mexico, the battle is often overshadowed by events of the Mexican-American War of 1836 and 1848. Isn't that interesting? It says this is within Mexico. Well, let me read this to you again. This is a key thing. It is within Mexico. See, this is a deep-seated issue, this Texas-Mexico-California thing. It's a lot deeper than people realize, and it is the essence of what is going on at the invasion right now. The two invasion points, Mexico is invading Texas right now, and Mexico, with the help and encouragement of a certain religious organization and leaders here in California, invading California. Get it? The two Lone Star states being invaded. Of course, you've got Arizona and you got New Mexico. And New Mexico is quick to run it up and say, look, and in fact, her what's happening with the mayor, the governor there in Mexico, she's decided, hey, we can't stand this invasion. The small communities in New Mexico are being overrun right now. Right now they're being overrun. I mean, do you know what it means to be overrun by an army? Yeah, you can have an army that doesn't have weapons. What are you going to do about it? You're just going to fill up your towns, right? Because your ability to keep a sovereign border is not there in the United States. This is a known military tactic. It's been around for hundreds of thousands of years. Goes on here, says, in 19th century Texas, the Alamo complex gradually became known as a battle site rather than a former mission. And the Texas legislature purchased the land and buildings, part of the 20th, and redesignated the Alamo Chapel as an official Texas state shrine. The Alamo has been the subject of numerous nonfiction works beginning in 1843. Most Americans, however, are more familiar with the myths and legends spread by many of the movie and television adaptations, including Disney's miniseries, Davy Crockett and John Wayne's 1960 movie, The Alamo. Right. A lot. In 1835, there was a drastic shift in the Mexican nation. The triumph of conservative forces in the elections unleashed a series of events that culminated in 1835 under a new constitution after the repeal of the Federalist Constitution of 1824. Las Siete Leyes, the Seven Laws, were a series of constitutional changes that fundamentally altered the organizational structure of Mexico, ending the first federal period and creating a unitary republic, officially the Mexican Republic, formalized under President Antonio López de Santa Anna on December 5, 1835. They were enacted in 1836. They were intended to centralize and strengthen the national government. And what does it say in the California Declaration of Independence of 1836? They wanted to get away from the centralized government of Mexico. That's why they declared their independence in 1836. And what's happening now? New California is declaring its independence. Hello? Wake up! It says the aim of the previous constitution was to create a political system that would emulate the success of the United States. But after a decade of political turmoil, economic stagnation, and threats of actual foreign invasion, conservatives concluded that a better path for Mexico was centralized power. See, they'd started out right. In 1821, they declared themselves independent from Spain. And again, this is they used a Declaration of Independence document. See how important it was. They used that document. Then by 1824, they had the Los Siete Leyes, the seven laws. Became a federal period, and officially the Mexican Republic. Everything became centralized in that time period. And then, of course, by 1836, people are going, hey, from 1824 to 1836, the centralized government business is not working. Why and what was it leading to after a decade? It says, listen to this, the aim of the previous constitution, this Las Siete Leyes. The aim of the previous constitution was to create a political system that would emulate the success of the United States, and it didn't do it. It didn't do it because they did not have free market capitalism. I'm telling you, that's the reason why. There were people who did not like that form of control. They liked totalitarianism. They liked the peons. They liked the low class versus the upper class. They liked the political elites. So they created their own system by 1836 that centralized and strengthened the national government. Yep, just go ahead and admit that you're totalitarians. And of course, communism hadn't been created by then. It was on, you know, communism was close, but it wasn't there. But they had centralized government just like you do in communist lands. So you see, the term communism is, you know, synonymous with other forms of the way people govern before the Communist Manifesto. Hello. Everybody thinks communism is a brand new idea. It's not. Totalitarianism is not a new idea. Now, it was, I guess you would say, restructured, brought back to life to counter what? The Declaration of Independence, which is what happened to Spain here in 1821. By 1824, they had the Los Siete Leyes, the seven laws. New policies and the increased enforcement of immigration laws and import tariffs incited many immigrants to revolt. The border region of Mexican Texas was largely populated by immigrants from the United States, some legal but most illegal. These people were accustomed to a federalist government and to extensive individual rights. Shocking! Shocking! Individual rights. And they were quite vocal in their displeasure of Mexico's law enforcement and shift towards centralism. Californios coming up with an 1836 document called the Declaration of Independence from where? Centralized Mexico. Shocking. Already suspicious after previous American attempts to purchase Mexican Texas, Mexican authorities blamed much of the Texas unrest on American immigrants, most of whom had entered illegally and made little effort to adapt to Mexican culture. Shocking. Now, do you think they might be using that against us right now? In October, Texians engaged Mexican troops in the first battle of the Texas Revolution. Santa Ana became assembling a large army, the Army of Operations in Texas, to restore order. Most of the soldiers were raw recruits, and a large number had been forcibly conscripted. And that's a big thing, that whole conscription thing with the army. Okay, so that war was on. That war manifested itself in greater war, of course. And that's where we get into the other issues that go on with, come on, computer. That's where we get on with the other issues of other invasions. Now, we're running out of time. Gosh, wow. We're having so much fun here learning, aren't we? So the Mexican-American War, as the Mexican War in the Mexican War, 1846 to 1848. Annexation of Texas, not formally recognized by the Mexican government, disputing the treaties of Velasco signed by Mexican Cadillo. President, what is a Cadillo? This is something that you learn going through this. A Cadillo is a used term to describe the period in history of Iberian Peninsula. That's not it. That this is American Spanish Cadillo for Latin capitulum, diminutive of a caput, head. Yeah, is a type of personalist leader wielding military and political power. There is no precise definition of a Cadillo, which is often used interchangeably with dictator or strongman. You'll hear me every once in a while refer to Jerry Brown as a Cadillo. says, roots of Caudilloismo may be tied to the framework of the rule in medieval and early modern Spain during the reconquest from the Moors. Spanish conquistadors such as Hernan Cortes and Francisco Pizarro exhibit characteristics of the Caudillo being successful military leaders, having mutual reliance on the leader of the leader and their supporters and rewarding them with their loyalty. Caudillo. It's a special kind of military leader with personality, so to speak. So you have a lot of Caudillos coming across the border right now, huh? In a sense. So the Mexican-American War was won. And, of course, that set everything off because the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo settled that. Mexico, California, Arizona, Colorado, Utah, all became part of the United States. Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, right. But then, all of a sudden, you get this little thing called the Border War. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing because this is kind of going along with the notion of Trotsky. You know, but Trotsky, one of the main communists on the planet, right? We're starting to get into Lenin and all the things that were going on with Russia. Oh, like the Russian Revolution stuff. Yeah, things like that. 1910 to 1900, the Border War or the Border Campaign refers to the military engagements which took place. You probably didn't even know this stuff was happening, but it plays a big important part in what's called Reconquista. The Border War, the Border Campaign, refers to military engagements which took place in Mexico, United States border region of North America, during the Mexican Revolution. The Bandit War in Texas was part of the Border War. From the beginning of the Mexican Revolution in 1910, this is the new revolution, the United States Army was stationed in force along the border and on several occasions fought with military rebels and Federals. The height of the conflict came in 1916 when revolutionary Pancho Villa attacked the American border town of Columbus, New Mexico. In response, the United States Army under John J. Pershing, World War I fan, right, John J. Pershing, launched an expedition into where? Northern Mexico, to find and capture Villa. Though the operation was successful in finding and engaging the Vistila rebels, Pancho Villa rebels, right? And in killing Villa's two top lieutenants, the revolutionary himself escaped, and the American army returned to the United States. In January 1917, 100 years ago, 102 years ago, conflict at the border continued, however, and the United States launched several additional, though smaller, operations into Mexican territory until the American victory in the Battle of, are you ready for this, Ambos Nogales, leading to the establishment of a permanent border wall. Shocking. Establishment of a permanent border wall. Why? To keep the Mexicans out. Conflict was not only subject to Vistilis and Mexican and Americans. Listen to this. Maderistas, Carrancistas, Constitucionales, and Germans also engaged in battle with American forces during the battle. And Germans. Oh, we're talking about the Imperial German Army. Yeah, World War I. They're engaging American troops as Germans. As Germans against Americans on American soil. Oh. Why Mexico and Germany? Shocking. Shocking. And who was here yesterday at Harvard talking and just demeaning and degrading our own president at Harvard University, Angela Merkel, the good Nazi German that she is. Yeah, that's the one. Are you getting the drift, folks? That this history has been here before, and now it's bigger, badder than ever. Just something to think about, you know? The Maderistas, the military wing of the Partido Liberal Mexicano, under the leadership of Flores Magón brothers, who organized abortive local uprising against Diaz in 1906 and 1908 and fomented further revolts in 1911, particularly in Baja California. A force of them was led by the Welsh soldier of fortune, General Carl Abt Reis Pris, the Gringo Revolutionary. The Colorados, the Red Flaggers, they fought first for Madero and revolted against his government in 1912 under the Plan Organista before joining the Huerta Army. There's a whole bunch of these people that are broken up, right? Followers of Francisco Pancho Villa, mainly serving in the division of Del Norte, Northern Division, formed part of the Maderistas, forces, and later fought in opposition to Huerta. Well, that's neither here nor there right now. This is all going on the border, 1900, 1919, and we're engaged in a war against Germany. Hello, that's what the First World War was. Oh. Well, gee, Paul, what happened later? I mean, we're just getting on, I'm covering this very quickly, but that's the border war era. And then, of course, there was World War II. We were invaded by Japan, of course, the Aleutian Islands. Nazis didn't get too far. Direct attacks going on. Of course, the Soviet Union and all that good stuff. That was all part of it. But what is this whole thing called Reconquista? Aslan. And why is that important right now? I think we're going to go to a break right now. We're going to actually the end of the hour. We're going to come back and talk more about invasion, Aslan, so you have an idea of what's going on here, why this is all happening. And who's encouraging it all the way across the border of, say, Argentina? What are they up to? The totalitarians are up to invading our country, ladies and gentlemen, and we have to take care of it. We have to do something. We have to do something within the next 60 days. Our country is lost. And you might not see it right now, but I'll tell you, by Christmas you will. As you are displaced out of your own home, and the revolution begins. Because that is their plan. We've been telling you this for a long time, and here it is. If we don't stop the millions that are coming across monthly, and it will be plural millions, we will not have a country any longer. And Nancy Pelosi will have achieved her goal of a borderless America. I got to remember, it was her who brought in Agenda 21 in October of 92. That's how long she's been at this. She's a player in the world, and that's why she's desperately hanging on to make sure that she's achieved her goal of a communist takeover of the United States of America. She's sure done a good job in California, because clearly it's communism now. I have people coming up to me in the store now. In the store. I went to the market the other day and said, Paul, you're right about this communism thing. People, I thought, would never say that. People who called me names. They're getting it. And I hope you get it before it's gone. Before we can't save it anymore. Because that's their strategy. Overwhelm you before you know it. And we will know it. Because we're exceptional Americans. And we will stand strong now. Time to stand up and stand strong and stand your ground. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com, fighting the totalitarians, I might add. Stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.